Above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point that he cannot distinguish the truth within him or around him, and so he loses all respect for himself and for others, and having no respect, he ceases to love. And this week's opening quote comes from Fyodor Dostoevsky. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, I've had an incredibly busy week, folks, so right at the start of the show here, I'd like to put out an apology for anybody who may be watching this show on YouTube. It's very unlikely you'll be getting much of a video presentation with this show because I simply don't have time to put one together, and it's more likely you'll just be getting the standard graphic display that I've displayed so many times, so please bear with me on that one. Getting into it, something I'd like to discuss is, have you noticed how much the environment has changed throughout the truth community in the last 4 or 5 years? Yeah, how it's become so polarized, so competitive, how where once it was a huge push towards truth and freedom, it's now become a compartmentalized response of belief systems, basically. You know, through the whole process of people pushing for the truth, people have in fact adopted certain focal points that they believe to be true or something that they resonate with, and they've locked themselves into that focal point, and they tend to compete with others from other factions who may have a different focal point to them. And very much of it has become almost like a popularity contest. You know, people will adopt a certain belief and then they'll get other people rally around them who have that belief. And then they'll think, yes, yes, we've got it right. And they'll go out and they'll attack others who have different beliefs. And even if they're both on the same wagon and have the same belief system, even if there's one single point of the belief system which is different, then they'll attack each other. And, of course, the first attack against each other is to accuse the other person of being an agent. This is the way it goes. You know, you can't think outside anybody's box at all. Everyone has their own box to think in. And anyone who thinks outside their own particular box that they've chosen, the first action is for people to accuse them of being an agent. And this, of course, is a result of ego. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, I'm right, and oh no, you're questioning me. I know you. I can see through you. You're here to infiltrate my belief system. This is the way it is, folks, and that's the way people think, and again, it's ego that gets in the way. People adopt a belief system, and they're scared to be wrong. You know, people are scared to ever admit they're wrong. People are scared of ever learning anything these days. And so if you question them on anything, it's an instantly polarized response. Very interesting, folks. And when it's looked at like this and we see that it is not about truth, it's about belief systems and what people want to believe, and it's claimed to be truth or the truth. And what we're finding is that the truth, in inverted commas, has been effectively weaponized against freedom. Because what this movement should be, the whole truth and freedom movement, should be more focused on freedom than anything, because it isn't until you establish freedom that you're going to find out what the actual truth is. Because until then, till that point, it's simply what you believe to be true, what anybody believes to be true. Because if you don't have the freedom to actually confirm it, then, well, how can you confirm it? How can you know it's actually true? You can't. It's simply what resonates with people. And it's these belief systems and these factions, the way the so-called resistance has been divided into these factions, which has stultified and diffused and deactivated the resistance. You know, and a lot of this, even this deactivation and this diffusing of the resistance, is due to nitpicking over details. This is what happened with the whole Christchurch thing, you know, with the reports that I put out on Christchurch. Even though I'm saying it's a government black operation, false flag, totally staged by the government, and they lied about the whole thing, because I questioned the claims people are making about hoax, suddenly I became the enemy. I get accused of being an agent because I don't buy into the whole hoax theory. when the people making the hoax theory all agree it's a government black op anyway, but, you know, there's just this massive amount of misdirection, and there has been so much misdirection in that case, folks. There really has, you know, if we could get some focus on the car, as I've often said, we could bring it down. But, like, there's been so much distraction and tension placed on details, which are just niggly points that you can debate back and forth all you like. Some of them are very easily disprovable, though, like, you know, the claims of no windshield damage to the car and the claim of CGI shell casings, these are so easily disproven that it's kind of a little embarrassing that people are pushing them as fact. In fact, I'm going to do a video in the next week or two just explaining a couple of very crucial and very obvious pieces of evidence that those who are claiming there's no damage to the windshield seem to be overlooking, or perhaps deliberately ignoring, one of the two, but they're certainly missing a couple of really key points which completely destroy the concept that there's no damage to the windshield of the car. The evidence of the damage is actually quite visible, folks. So I'm going to do a video regarding that in the next couple of weeks when I get some time. It'll only be a short video. You only need 5 or 10 minutes to sort this out and show people what's going on. But I will get that out to you soon. Hopefully that will dispel some of the division that's happening through this, because as I've said, folks, if we can get some focus on this case, we can bring the whole system down. You know, we've got a car leaving a crime scene halfway through the event. We've got the make and model and registration number of the car. Silver Toyota Will VS, registration number FQH875. We've got video of the same car being waved through a police roadblock later in the day. We've got handlers in red. We've got everything we need to blow the official story out of the water, to launch a full-blown investigation into the New Zealand government, and to blow the official line presented by the media out of the water as well, if people could just get a little bit of focus on the real details of this event. So yeah, I will do a video regarding that, and I'll just address the windshield damage and the claim of CGI shell casings, just because I think it's important to do. Of course, I won't be able to post it on YouTube, so when I make it, I'll just put up a little bumper here so you know that I've uploaded a video to BitChute, and you can go and watch it on BitChute, and we'll work it out anyway. And if I do that, maybe people will put some of this argument over details away and realize that most of their argument is actually based on belief, their belief that they want there to be no damage and their belief that they want the shell casings to be CGI, rather than what's actually being shown to them on video. So maybe it would be good to do that and just get that out there, and maybe we can get a little bit of focus. I mean, and it's important to not want either side to be true when looking at any of these events, folks. You can't look at any of these events with confirmation bias. You've got to take every event as a standalone event, not want anything to be true, and just look at what the evidence tells you and go where the evidence leads you. And that's what I did with the Christchurch event, and unfortunately there's very few people that seem to have done that. Most people went in there looking at it, wanting one particular side to be true. They went in there believing it was a hoax before they even looked at the video. And as I've said before, folks, you could go down that path if you want to, but the only way you can actually go down that path and make the claim is if you fail to observe, or perhaps choose to ignore, a lot of the other evidence that is revealed to you by the shooter's video. But anyway, I will put out a video addressing some of these points in the next week or two anyway, as soon as I can find the time to do so. But it's all of this nitpicking and this focus that's put on details that nobody can prove, which is what has been used to divide the resistance and to basically weaponize the resistance against itself. This is what we saw in the 9/11 attacks as well. You know, there were so many people saying, yes, this is a government-staged black op. And then people started arguing over whether it was thermite that brought the buildings down, whether it was pre-planted explosives that brought the buildings down, whether it was directed energy weapons that brought the buildings down. There was all sorts of debates put forth, and then suddenly all the people who agreed that it was a false flag black op run by the government started squabbling and fighting against each other and directing their attention towards each other and trying to hack each other down and prove their theory to be the correct one, rather than simply all admitting that they don't know, that they're all theories, that any one of them could be true, and that the real focus should be put on the fact that it's a government-run black op, the government lied. The focus should be put on freedom, establishing the freedom needed to determine what the real truth is. And that's what we should be doing in all of this stuff, folks. I mean, it's all of this argument over details and this attention that's placed on details, which are essentially irrelevant. You know, when you look at the bigger picture, most of the details are irrelevant. You'll never know until we can be free enough to know, until we can have a proper investigation. And you're not going to get that while you're arguing. And that's the thing, you know, we have these debates with each other, but the very debate itself and the division the debate causes is the very thing that prevents freedom from ever being established. So the entire focus on details cancels itself out. You're not looking at the bigger picture, and you're never going to get free. You're never going to get anywhere while you continue to hack each other down and accuse anybody who doesn't think like you of being an agent. This is what happened in the debate with Fetzer. When I backed him into the wall and I asked him to explain his claim of no windshield damage and CGI shell casings, what he basically did was say that he thought I was COINTEL because he didn't want to answer the questions, and he couldn't answer the questions. So he said, oh, you're COINTEL because you're questioning my theory. This is classic COINTEL operation to even do this, but this is how it works, folks. There's all of this attention put on details and hacking anybody down who disagrees with any details that anybody is promoting, and it's classic divide and conquer strategy. This is how it works, folks, and it is so effective in the so-called resistance and in this so-called truth movement. It's been so effective in dividing the resistance. And we're simply not going to get anywhere until people are willing to face the reality that they just don't know. You know, a lot of the points they're defending are points that they simply cannot confirm. They just don't know. You know, and we've got to realize just how much we don't know before we're ever going to get anywhere in this movement. You know, all we really need to focus on is the fact that we're all under rule. We're all kept in slavery. We are all wearing yokes, basically. And, you know, once we can get that focus, realize that we're living in a people farm and the whole place is run by a corrupt government system, maybe we'll get somewhere. But while people continue to argue over the details, it's just perpetuating the prison. And we're just working to perpetuate our own slavery by simply failing to even be able to get along with each other in the most basic of ways. It's ridiculous, folks. It really is. You know, the truth movement has basically become its own worst enemy. And that's a very shocking thing to see. And it's a shocking thing to have to admit. But unfortunately, it's true. And that's because the focus isn't on freedom. You know, people believe the focus is on truth, but really it's not even on truth. It's on what people believe to be true. So therefore, the focus has been placed on belief systems and arguing and defending those belief systems against all outside influence. And that path really leads nowhere. It's just a circular path that leads us back to our own prison. And it's been very effective in maintaining the control that is held over us and allowing this whole smart grid and everything that's coming online now to be rolled out around us while we are busy with our infighting and trying to get our ego up above everybody else's. Now, we've been so played with this, and it's time to wake up to it, folks. It really is. The problem is, of course, even attempting to point this out to people, they don't like it because nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. I put out a video a year or so ago called Everything is a Lie. Boy, did I get some flack for that one, because people don't like to be told that they don't know. And people don't want to admit that they don't know. And that's one of the big problems, folks. You know, the fact that people will not admit these things. They want to be right. People are scared to be wrong. And it is really a fascinating mentality how people are so afraid to ever make a mistake. How can they live when they think that way? How can they ever learn anything when they feel that way? Because that's how we learn, folks. We learn from making mistakes. That's what life's really about, isn't it? It's about coming here and messing up so we can learn how to do it right. And how can you ever learn how to do anything right if you think you already know and you won't listen to others, if you won't consider all options, if you won't look at the bigger picture, if you adopt a belief system halfway through the journey, and then you identify everything that happens from that point with your belief system, then how do you ever learn anything? Think of the things that you miss out on. Think of the levels of expansion of consciousness that could happen if you would simply not have the belief system and you would allow things to flow and allow things to unfold the way they would. You know, just unfold of their own accord so that the path gradually builds itself in front of you. Yeah, that is a far more productive way to go through life. It's a far more productive way to conduct research. You know, too many people go in to conduct research, as I said, with confirmation bias. They go in with an idea and they go in trying to prove that idea. They look at stuff and they find stuff that supports their concept that they've come up with, supports their hypothesis. but they ignore other stuff that doesn't support it. So they discard stuff. They discard half of the evidence in order to only keep the evidence and cherry pick that which supports their hypothesis. And that is not research. It's better to go in there without a hypothesis at all, to simply go in there and allow the evidence to speak to you and to tell you what happened. Because if you do that, the evidence will tell you what happened in any of these events. It's always there, but it's the hypothesis that often gets in the way, simply because the hypothesis often causes people to discard other stuff which may be quite relevant. I mean, sure, it's fine to have a hypothesis, but don't be locked into it. You know, don't think that anything that doesn't support that hypothesis is irrelevant, because all information is relevant in any research, in any case, in any event. Yeah, the problem I've found within the so-called truth movement is that, as I said before, many people want to present themselves as gurus, and so they put forth their hypothesis, and then they desperately want to defend it. They desperately want to be right. And that's the problem. You know, and of course there's the other side as well. And, you know, I think a lot of the problem is that there is a certain sense of adventure involved in becoming an activist, like even becoming a researcher, even waking up to the fact that this whole system is corrupt as it is. You know, you wake up to the fact that we live in this matrix and nothing is what we're told. Everything's false. Everything's been contrived and put there for us. And it becomes this incredible revelation, and it kind of sparks this romantic sense of adventure inside us, you know, this firing of the imagination. You know, we fall into what I often refer to as the spy novel version of reality. It becomes all very fascinating for us, and we find things along the way that resonate with us, and we go, wow, that's great, and then we look for stuff to reinforce that. We get stuck down these rabbit holes, and we tend to adopt belief systems along the way rather than simply looking at it all and seeing it all as fascinating. I mean, all of it is fascinating, but be careful what you want to believe. Just look at it all. It's all an interesting theory, all interesting hypotheses. Put them all on the shelf and leave them there and see if other stuff comes along that supports them. And if it does, we'll put that on the same shelf and just see how it all unfolds as the path unfolds. But, you know, it's the adopting of belief systems along the way and the questioning of other people when they discover things. You know, people will put forth a hypothesis. Someone might put forth a hypothesis on whatever, the mud flood, Tartaria, whatever. And then people will start questioning them. Well, should we trust this person? Should we do this? Should we? There's whole YouTubers out there that have made a whole career for themselves by analyzing what other YouTubers say. And then putting it out there and offering their listeners the option of, well, should we choose to trust this person or choose not to trust this person? I mean, who are these people to even know if, why do they believe they're a person of authority over whether they should trust someone else? I mean, you know, if all of these people who spend all their time trying to hack down other YouTubers and trying to discuss whether other people should be trusted or not, if they put half of the energy they spent doing this into actually addressing the government and addressing the slavery system that controls them, we'd probably all be free by now, you know, but people don't do this. They get stuck down these rabbit holes. They get stuck into this programmed way of thinking and just questioning whether they should be trusting the people around them, when all the people around them are doing is offering them different ideas and different hypotheses and different perspectives. I mean, that's important too. You know, when you look at the truth community and you're listening to people in the truth community, you've got to understand that what you're listening to are people's perspectives. You know, this is just a person with a perspective, depending on what information he's had. He's putting it out there and saying, hey, this is what I think's going on. What do you guys think? You know, and you could say, well, yeah, maybe I agree with that. Well, that's interesting. And go off on your own path and look at what you can discover as well. But if this person thinks something that's a little bit outside your box, there's no need to say, oh, this is an agent. This is a misdirector. This is a gatekeeper. This is a whatever. It isn't. It's simply someone offering you a perspective that is unique to themselves. It may not be your perspective, but that's because your perspective is unique to you as well. That's the way it works, you know. We're all unique to ourselves, and we all have our own particular perspectives, and there's nobody who's ever going to think exactly like you, because there is no other person out there who is you, and we all think the way we all think, you know. We all think the way we are as individuals. And, you know, all we can do is find the middle ground and listen to people and see what resonates and consider all options. But don't hack people down simply because they have a different perspective to you. Because that is what has happened to this so-called truth movement. And that is how the truth in inverted commas, has been weaponized against freedom. And when you look at it, folks, and you really step back and see it, you realize that it isn't the truth. It's simply people's belief systems clashing with other people's belief systems. And it's all been contrived. It's all been constructed to be that way. You know, divide and conquer is the motto, and it's the polarized belief systems that people have adopted through this journey that is one of the biggest obstacles we have to overcome. It's one of the biggest obstacles we currently face against freedom. It's one of the biggest obstacles the so-called resistance faces in ever making any headway at all. You know, and if we could just put all this stuff down with each other, folks, I mean, I've been saying this for 10, 11 years on the radio show. If you could put all your stuff down with people and just agree to disagree about all these finer details and step back into your moral compass, then we could change the world in a day. And we really could. You know, and as I said, the hardest part about it is in people admitting the reality that they just don't know. You know, putting their egos down and just allowing themselves to be human, allowing other people to be human, that would certainly make a difference. And that is a huge obstacle as well. All based in ego, folks. All programmed to be there. And many people simply can't see it. They can't see the forest for the trees. And it's a very unfortunate thing. You know, the whole concept that we can change the world by changing what is inside of us is so true, but people even look at that as some type of New Age concept. They can't see that it's a simple shift of perspective. And many people don't want to shift this perspective again because of ego. They don't want to admit that they were ever wrong. And many people don't want to admit that, you know, some of the things they've done in their life and some of the paths that they pursued in their life have actually been meaningless. It's all been for nothing because the playing field was not what they thought it was. You know, they didn't have the proper rules. They didn't even know the field that they were playing on when they began the game. And when they find out that the game is not what they thought it was, it's simply not something that they want to admit because they just don't want to back down. They don't want to ever face the fact that they may have been wrong. That's a huge problem that we face, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. That's another one of the reasons I want to put out this video talking about the damage to the windshield in Christchurch as well, in the Christchurch shooting, because if the people out there, many of the people out there who are claiming that there's no windshield damage and making all these claims of hoax and all these claims that they're making regarding that video, if these people can just admit that they were wrong and actually get some focus on what is really shown in the video, well, it would make a huge difference because we could really reach a lot of people with what is revealed in that video, and it would be a huge spiritual step for a lot of these people as well, just to admit that to themselves, that they actually may have made a mistake, and to publicly admit that, hey, look, I called it wrong. And if I actually look deeper, I can see that there's something very important in this video. If people were to do that, they would get so much respect from their audiences as well. People out there who are scared that they may lose their audiences if they change their view on what happened at Christchurch, you know, because so many people have made claims now. And so many people have, again, they put this stuff out there and they have their YouTube channels and they sort of present themselves as being a guru who never makes mistakes. And they're very, very scared to admit if they ever did make a mistake. But I guarantee, folks, if you're out there, if you're someone out there and you're claiming there's no damage to the windshield in the car in Christchurch, when I show you what I'm going to show you in this video, when I make it in a week or two, you'll see that it's actually quite obvious that there is damage and that people have missed a couple of very, very crucial points when looking at this. You know, if these people are prepared to actually stand up and say, hey, I called it wrong, and shift their focus to the fact that we have a car leaving this crime scene. We have this car being waved through a police roadblock. We have extra handlers on the compound, seen on the compound, wearing red while people are being shot. We have everything we need to prove the official story is a complete crock with that video if people can just get some focus. You know, if they can see that and realize that we could address this if people are simply prepared to put their egos down and admit that they called something wrong, then perhaps we will really make a difference. And, you know, as I said, folks, a lot of the people that have called this would get so much respect from their listeners if they were to do this. You know, and I urge all of the people that have called this to be a hoax to really go and have another look at the video and look at it without wanting either side to be true. You know, don't look at it wanting it to be a hoax. Don't look at it wanting it to be real. Just look at it and allow the evidence to lead you where the evidence leads you without any confirmation bias at all. You know, if people are prepared to do that, we still have time to make a real difference with this video, folks. You know, this event is still affecting everybody. It's affecting us, and it's going to continue to affect us It's been a hugely important move. It isn't like so many of the other shootings. It's been a real push for the end game, this event at Christchurch, because of all the legislation that's rolling out around the world on the back of it and the censorship that's rolling out on the back of it. I mean, so much is rolling out on the back of it. And if people can get a little bit of focus on it, it really would make a difference. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I intend to do that video as well, just in the hope that people are prepared to open their eyes and just look a little deeper and consider what they may have missed and consider what we could achieve if we get the correct focus. And as I keep saying, folks, what that focus needs to be on is freedom. You know, because you can call truth all you like, but until we're free, no one's really going to know what the real truth is. And that's just the sad fact of the matter. And if people aren't prepared to admit that, well, we're not going to really get anywhere. We're just going to continue to bash our heads against each other and claim that our theory is the correct theory. And when they're just all theories, nobody knows. Nobody really knows what's going on here at all, because we don't even have the right playing field. We don't even have the right history books. We don't even have any idea, any concept of how this civilization was really formed or where we even really come from. Now, when you look at all of the stuff that's been uncovered recently about history and Tartaria and the mud flood and all the stuff that's happened, now you realize that history is completely fabricated. 90% of it is fabricated. Well, what do you got to start with from there? I mean, if that's our starting point, we don't even know where we come from. We don't even know who we are. We don't even know how we got here, what is going on here at all. So if that's our starting point, how can we claim we know the truth by looking at some particular focal point within this incredible maze that we're given in this reality? I mean, honestly, folks, it's about time people were prepared to be at least that honest with themselves, you know. You know, unfortunately, too many people lie to themselves, and they do. I mean, people believe that they've got it all worked out when they're really only partway through the journey. And even with saying all that, folks, I mean, people may hear that and say, well, hang on, Max, you're putting forth your theories with the Christchurch event. And no, that's the point. I'm not. I'm not putting forth any theories with the Christchurch event at all. I'm simply looking at the video and going where the video tells me I should go. I'm just looking at what is on the video, and I'm questioning some of the theories that people are actually putting out simply because they're not supported by the video. That's the thing. So, you know, there's a difference in that. And the fact that these people were putting out these theories that aren't supported by the video was what caused me to look deeper in the video, and which what caused me to discover this car and these handlers in red and all the other stuff that has been discovered on the video anyway. So it's not that I've got any theory on the event at all, folks. I don't. You know, I just look at the prima facie evidence and what the evidence shows. But yeah, I mean, I'll do that soon, and I will get a video regarding this windshield damage up on YouTube, just so people can reconsider what they may have been seeing, because as I said, I do think it's important. And it's not because I want to be right, folks. I mean, I don't need to be right or wrong in the Christchurch event. It's not that I have any need to be right. I just want people to see the truth, because I don't want people to miss the opportunity that this event is providing to us for freedom. And that is what I think is the most important aspect of all regarding that event. But I'll get off that topic now, and we have reached break time here anyway, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for sticking around. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so something else that I've been really attempting to stress to people in many of the interviews that I've done lately is the need to enjoy your life through all of this. I mean, even when you become an activist, you know, you discover what's going on with the world, you discover this terrible situation that we're in. You know, one of the worst things you can do is to move into fear for the situation that's coming. You know, all of the stuff that I bring you on the show is all the, some of the incredibly negative information that I sometimes share with you. This is why on every show I still present it in such a way as to hopefully inspire the listener and inspire you into seeing the opportunity that becoming aware of this knowledge provides for you. Because that's what it's really about. I mean, you can't fix a problem unless you know the problem's there. But too many people look at all of this stuff and they move into fear of what's happening. And, you know, you think about this whole experience. I mean, a lot of it is designed to keep us in fear. Look at the newspapers. Look at what's on the news. Look at all the stuff they teach us. I mean, you know, if we were to believe the media, it's sort of too dangerous to go outside the door just about. You'll catch some disease, someone will mug you, or it's just terrible. You shouldn't go outside. Everybody wants to kill you. All the other countries are against you. Just stay home and the government will protect you. That's the kind of attitude they want to promote with everybody. And it's almost like that with a lot of the truth community as well. There's an awful lot of fear that's being promoted to people. You know, and it doesn't need to be that way, because you can look at the situation that we're in and you can be concerned for the situation that we're in, and concern will cause you to step into positive action to address that concern, whereas fear is the opposite. Fear will generally make people cower and hide away and want to go and hide in a dark corner and hope that whatever it is doesn't come for them. And it's a big difference. And when you look at this experience as well, I mean, as I said, there's so much of it which is designed to move you into fear. What do you think that's really about? You know, could there be more to it than simply keeping you under control? You know, is there an energetic or emotional reason for this as well? And I would suggest that there is. You know, as I've said so often, you know, this life is just a breath. It's just a fleeting moment that you're here. And what it's really about is the information that you get along the way and what you do with that information, you know, how you apply these situations and these circumstances, the information that comes to you, how you apply it to your everyday life, how you see the opportunities in crisis, the opportunities in problems, and how you move through it. You know, what you gather along the way. And if you have no stake in the outcome of the experience, well, you can find your way through it reasonably easily. And there is no point in having a stake in the outcome of any of this, because as I've also said so often lately, when you come to this earth, I mean, no one here gets out alive. That's the thing. All you've really got to look forward to is the experience that you have through this journey and the information that you take with you. And if this is some sort of a soul harvest or some sort of a consciousness harvest or an emotional harvest or whatever's going on here, whatever's going on the higher etheric levels of all this, you know, way beyond the physical control that we see when we get into things such as spiritual control or soul harvesting or any of the things that may well be going on, you begin to see that there's a reason that they want to keep us in fear. And you've got to look at what energy it is you're going to be taking with you when you leave this realm. I mean, many of the conspiracy theorists, many people who've looked at all this stuff and become aware of how bad the world is and all of this corruption and the fact that our governments are criminals and all this stuff, many of them have simply sat there in fear. And when they leave this realm, they're going to look back in their life and say, well, wow, I just sat in a room in fear of going outside for my whole life. And therefore, they missed out on their life. They lost that. They had it taken from them. They had the experience taken from them. They never really got to experience the world the way they were supposed to, or experience themselves the way they were supposed to, because they were in fear of all this stuff. You know, all they have to do is let go of that. You know, one of the most rebellious things you can do, one of the most powerful things you can do against this system, is to be happy in your life and happy in yourself and to enjoy your life to the fullest of your potential, because that's something they really don't want you to do. They don't want you to be taking that energy with you. They don't want you to be looking at this system and seeing it for what a joke that it really is and what a farce that it really is. You know, it's a complete crock. It's a complete fiction. You know, but we go along with it, again, because we're kept in fear. I mean, the whole system is designed to keep you in fear. You know, don't step outside the lines or we'll put you in a cage. It starts in high school. You know, don't think outside the box or we'll put you in a corner and put a dunce hat on you and give you the cane and make you a D-class person, ostracize you from the rest of the class. Now, so all of this stuff, it's fear-based mind control, the whole system, folks. And the most rebellious thing you can do against this system, really, is to be yourself and to be happy in what you are. They don't like that. You know, and that's a hugely empowering thing for people to do, because it's something most people have never really done, is simply step back and be happy with who they are. And do something that they really enjoy, that wasn't some government-constructed, designated fun activity. You know, just something that they actually want to do. What is it you really want to do? It may be something as simple as going and putting your feet in the sand down the beach, you know. But when's the last time you did that? You know, maybe walking in a forest or going butterfly catching, or whatever it is, swimming in a rock pool, surfing, whatever it is. Just laying down there with your loved ones, hugging your children, whatever it is. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you really felt good about being you and put all of this external baggage down and simply looked at reality for what it is? Now, when's the last time you appreciated a tree or appreciated the smell of flowers in the air or the smell of the surf, the smell of the ocean, or some of these things. When's the last time you put down all the trappings that society says you should focus on and actually focused on what it means to be you? Yeah, because that is the most empowering and most rebellious thing anybody can do against this system. You know, rediscover yourself, be yourself, and be happy in being yourself. It's a hugely empowering thing to do, folks. It sounds kind of lame, I suppose, to some people, and it may sound too simple to actually have any effect. But you would be really surprised at what an effect it can have on your life and what an effect it can have on the people around you. And if everyone was to do it, what an incredible effect it would have upon this world. And fear is kind of a twofold mechanism. They can use it in various ways. You know, they can present the concept of fear to the general population, the people who are asleep, you know, who you would refer to as the sheeple or whatever. And they can use fear to present to these people, you know, the fear of terrorism, which provides the excuses they need to put up surveillance cameras everywhere and have drones hovering over football games and things now, which they're talking about doing here in Australia now, folks. If you're someone who goes to the football games in Australia, the police are now going to have surveillance drones equipped with facial recognition hovering above the football stadiums to keep an eye on everybody, just to keep you safe from the terrible terrorists, of course. That's what all this is about. So, you know, the people will accept that because of the fear that's given to them by the government. They believe that this is keeping them safe and they live in fear of terrorism. And the people who are awake will see the drones and then they will live in fear of the surveillance state. So either way, the people are put into fear of the situation. And a lot of people are failing to look past that. And as I said earlier, because of this fear, they're failing to enjoy their life. They're actually missing out on their lives. And you know, and this is happening to an extent anyway through people who aren't even in fear, simply because of how much people immerse themselves in the virtual world, which is not a real world. It's a virtual world. And they're missing out on the real life and the real life experience because they're immersed in this virtual world experience, which is not real. And that's how they control you as well. And they do that also through fear. Because once people are completely dependent upon the virtual world, then it's the fear of being locked out of the virtual world, which makes them comply with what the government wants. So, you know, you can see how fear is used through all of this. But like I said, you know, through it all, if you can simply enjoy your life and not comply with this, I mean, just see it for the farce that it is. That's the incredibly amazing part about all of this, you know, is that all of the rules and regulations that control us are simply a fiction. It's just an idea that somebody had and we all choose to go along with it, you know, and all we've got to do is stop going along with it and choose to do something else, choose to live our lives, choose to actually experience what it means to be a human. You know, getting up and going to these slave jobs and doing all these things that people do, you know, we only do it because we're caught in that grind. We're caught on that wheel. And once you get on that wheel, it's very difficult to step off. And that's why, you know, even sometimes when I look at this and some of the information that I bring to people and some of the suggestions that I offer to people on this show, sometimes I can look at it and think, well, you know, what's the point, Max? It's just hopeless because people can never step off the wheel. They just can't bring themselves to do it, to step off this economic wheel that they're caught on, this economic system that they're caught on. And that's the freaky part. I mean, you know, looking at this, you've got to be realistic. You know, I can offer all these spiritual perspectives that I can and all the, you know, self-empowerment concepts that I can in the hope that it will help people and inspire people. But if they're not able to step off that economic wheel, then how do we address the situation from there? You know, how do we change the world without really changing the system? And that's the thing. You know, a lot of people are in fear of the government and they're in fear of what's coming and they don't like the world to be the way it is. But at the same time, they're scared of anything else because it's better the devil you know. And they're scared to step off that treadmill, scared to step off that economic system and into reality because they need everybody else to do it with them. You know, they don't want to step off the wheel and then just be left there and discarded on the side. And unfortunately, that's what happens to many people. And that's what will happen to many people. That's what would happen to the entire truth community if we all just stepped off the system. And even if they're 5 or 10% of the world's population, I mean, no matter how many we are, if we just step off the system and the other 90% are still on there, or they're going to drag us back in anyway, either that or we'll simply be discarded. So, you know, it's a very, very tricky situation that we're in. And that's why you need to look at it kind of energetically and realize that a lot of what it's about is the energetic state that you're in, you know, the energy that you hold. This is how I'm able to find my way through the system to the degree that I do, folks. It's how I'm able to live my life the way I do, because I don't have any stake in the outcome of any of this. And I don't want for a lot. I mean, I don't want a lot of stuff. I don't need a lot of stuff. All I need is that which I need to survive. I don't need all the trappings that go with it. I don't need fancy houses and big front doors and fancy cars and designer shoes. I don't need any of this stuff. So, you know, you find that the older you get and the more simple you live, the happier you are. You know, the simpler you live, the less you find you actually need. Most of the stuff we've got is simply stuff that we bought because we thought it meant something, but we don't actually need any of it. That's another interesting thing. You know, we seem to spend a lot of time in our lives going out of our way to collect stuff that we really don't need because we think it means something at the time. And we get it and we go, well, isn't that great? Now I've got this and it doesn't really mean anything at all. You know, it's like, as I said, you know, you go through life attempting to build this huge pile of junk to sit on, and you get through life and you climb to the top of the pile and you sit on it and you go, well, what was all that for? Because now I'm here, there's really nothing here. And you kind of miss out on yourself along the way. And that's what all this is designed to do, folks. That's even what all these ball games and football games and all these things people go to enjoy is about. It's they don't have to enjoy themselves. They don't have to find themselves. It'll give you this external thing to go and enjoy, because you don't ever really get to look within. You just go where the flow goes and go where everybody else goes and become part of the throng and part of the crowd, because isn't that what it's all about? But it's all designated enjoyment activities, all designed to lead people away from themselves and give them stuff which is presented to them as fun, but really it's not. It's just a distraction from what life is really about. You know, but what if you were to take time out and to just, even if you could just, you know, got a few minutes, just take some time out and go and sit somewhere quiet, somewhere where you feel comfortable. Somewhere where you can get that energy where you just feel like yourself. And ask yourself what it is that you really want to do. What is it that you have most wanted to do in your life? What is it that you would find the most enjoyment in doing in your life? Then ask yourself what it is in your life that is preventing you from doing that. Yeah, and usually you're going to find that the limitations that you're putting on yourself that are preventing you from achieving this goal are usually limitations you've put on yourself. They're usually contrived, you know. We sit there and we think, gee, I'd really like to do this. And then we start giving ourselves all the reasons we can't do it rather than all the reasons why we can do it. Yeah, because we judge ourselves by external parameters. We judge ourselves by social parameters and external things that are given to us. And we measure ourselves according to all these guidelines that are given to us by other people and given to us by the system. We don't ever really look at things as we are. This is simply an earth that is populated by people. Most of the other stuff that we do is completely insignificant and contrived. Most of the jobs we've got, most of the things that people do in their everyday life are simply in order for them to obtain the paper that they need to pay to be alive. And that's how the slavery system works. That's why they removed all the free energy devices. You know, when you start looking at history and Tartaria and all the stuff that it would appear that we had not so long ago, why would they remove the free energy from us? Because with free energy, we wouldn't be doing any of this. We wouldn't be running on the treadmill. We wouldn't be working these jobs. We wouldn't be mining and pulling the earth apart. We wouldn't be arguing with each other. We wouldn't be competing with each other. We wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if we did not need to pay for energy. You know, it creates competition. It creates a situation whereby there can be no spiritual evolution for mankind. It creates a situation where people simply don't have time to discover themselves and discover what it really means to be here, you know, what it really means to be human, what they are actually for, you know, who they are. They simply don't have time to do it because they've got to run around collecting the paper they need to pay for the energy they need to survive. You know, we've got to pay for our fuel, pay to light our houses, pay for our food, pay to even put a roof over our heads. And very often, even if we need energy from someone else, we need to pay for their time. You know, go to a therapist or whatever, you know. It's all this whole concept of time is money. We've put an economic value on almost every experience we have with people. And it's about to be moved to the next level with the whole social crediting system and everything they want to do with that as well. Soon, you won't even get real money for the time you spend with people. You'll just get credit points and behavior points for the time you spend with people. So, you know, people will start doing good things with people, but they'll only be doing it because they want to serve themselves. And they'll be in fear of what will happen if they don't do good things for people. So where's the spiritual growth in that? Where's the spiritual evolution in that? Where is the humanity in that? You're not training people to be nice. You're penalizing them if they don't do what they're told. That's what you're doing. I mean, it's pretty dangerous where we're heading into, folks. You know, so when you look at this, you know, well, what is the way out of this system? You know, if the system's here and you think you can use the system against itself, well, what is the way out? The only real way out is to expose how corrupt the system is. Again, we can come back to what we just saw in Christchurch and the huge opportunity that video provides for people, if we could just get focused on it. But it's just another opportunity lost, like with 9/11. Another opportunity lost because of people caught up in details and arguing over infighting and trying to push their belief systems on people rather than looking at the bigger picture and what the bigger picture shows us and what the opportunity is that it provides for us. So, you know, if we're not going to do something like that, if we're not going to actually use this truth community to focus on actual truth and on an actual push for freedom and rather focus on belief systems instead and on hypotheses and theories and accuse anybody who disagrees with being an agent, then we might as well give up. We're not going to get anywhere. You know, we need to realize what's going on here, folks, and realize what we could do if we could just put our stuff down and look at the bigger picture and get some focus and realize that this whole thing is really about energy. Because even in that, I mean, you know, when you look at the energy you get from other people, why does all this infighting go on within the so-called truth movement? It's because it's just this big energy harvest. Everyone's trying to come and suck your energy out of you. That's all the trolls are doing on your channel. That's what they do with me. They come and try to suck your energy out of you. I mean, I only even engage with the trolls because I'm an empathetic person. I'm a humanitarian. I really want to understand what makes these people tick. I really want to help these people see the opportunity that is available to them should they just open their eyes a little bit and stop trolling people who disagree with them. Stop trolling people they disagree with. You know, we've got to put all of this aside, folks. You know, this whole situation that we're in is one big energy system. And we're as much a part of this energy system as anything else, as much as the electricity, as much as anything else. You know, we get fuel from each other as much as we get it from other sources. You know, we get food from each other's energy as much as we get food from the food around us. And we really need to realize how this works and what's going on here. And if we cannot put down our baggage with each other and start seizing some of the opportunities that are presented to us, you know, and all we've really got to do is stand in honor to do that. You know, stop being dishonorable. Stop hacking other people down. Stop seeing it as a popularity contest or anything that you need to prove that you're right in. You know, there is no right in any of this. There is no wrong in any of this. There's just freedom and slavery. You know, and you've got to make the choice. Which one do you want? You know, and if you don't want slavery and you do want freedom, well, what is the path to freedom? You know, the first step on that path is mutual respect for each other and allowing other people to think differently. You know, agreeing to disagree, putting all your stuff down and realizing that we all face a common foe here. You know, if you really want to define that foe, well, the foe is the system itself. The foe is the concept that the system is real because the system is just a fiction. That's why you can't even go and fight. That's why there's no point even voting people in and voting people out. You're still not getting it. You're still supporting a cloud. You still think that if you put a new person in there to manage the cloud, it's going to be a different cloud. It's not going to work that way. The whole thing is fiction. And there isn't one politician on the earth that has talked about Tartaria, talked about the free energy, talked about what this world could be. There isn't one that is addressing the real situation with 5G. There isn't one that is addressing the real situation with the wars, all the stuff that's been going on the earth for so long. There isn't one that is addressing any of the real issues here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, surely people can see that. So I don't know why anyone would ever be seeking any remedy in politics. There is no remedy in politics. Now, if you want remedy in politics, you have to change the perspective that you're putting into that political system. You know, once we change our perspective and we change what we choose to comply with, once we choose to step into our moral compasses, that's when the system changes. You don't need to vote anybody in or vote anybody out for that. You don't need to even respect politics as having any meaning at all to do that. You know, if we change what we are, the system will change around us. It won't have a choice. You know, if we don't choose to comply with our own slavery, then we won't be slaves. It won't have a choice. The system will have to change. All of this depends on the choices that we make. That's the thing. That's the simplicity of the whole thing. You know, the simplicity of the whole system and the way it enslaves us. And the beauty of it, really, if you want to look at it that way, is the fact that it's just an idea. It just all depends on what people want to believe and what you can get them to go along with due to that belief. That's all the system is, folks. It's just a meme. And that's why it would be so easy to overcome. That's why I've said so many times that with a simple change of perspective, we could change the world in a day. We could literally change the world in 3 seconds if there was just this grand epiphany, if we had some way of just flicking a switch, putting a current through everyone, and just get them to have that aha moment and just realize who and what they are. Just in that 1 second, we could change the world. We could literally bring the whole house of cards crashing down, because the entire house of cards, it's just a prison for our mind. It's just an idea that somebody had, and they convinced everybody else to go along with it. You know, we have a lot of opportunities here, folks. There's so much that has been revealed now. And, you know, if we don't stand up for it, well, the surveillance state is going to continue. It's going to roll out. And, you know, the children that are growing up into this are going to find themselves living in a nightmare simply because we wouldn't stop arguing with each other. We wouldn't put our stuff down. And we didn't choose to simply step back and look at the bigger picture and to respect each other. I mean, really, folks, that's what it all comes down to, just basic respect. So let's just maybe apply some of that to our lives. And let's agree to disagree. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what research they're going down. It doesn't matter what rabbit hole they're in. You know, let's just all get along with each other. Yeah, that would really make a difference. And let's seize these opportunities when they come. Let's really, you know, let's really do this, folks. And again, I urge people to go back. People who are claiming this whole Christchurch thing is fake, I urge you to go back and look at the video again and look at these handlers and see the value of identifying this car and the fact that without any speculation or conjecture at all, that basic information on that video is enough to bring the entire New Zealand government down and expose the entire world media machine for what it is. Let's not miss this opportunity. Please, not another one, not again. But anyway, I think we have now reached that time again, folks. We've now reached the end of the show, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thanks very much for joining me on the air today. A little bit of a different show for you today, but I think there's a few points that needed to be addressed. And as I said, I will get to making that video regarding the damage to the windshield at the Christchurch shooting as soon as I'm able. I'll try to get that done within the next week or two, hopefully. It won't be too long a video, so it shouldn't take too long to make. I've just got to get the time. As I mentioned before, I will be speaking at an event here on the Gold Coast in August, around about the 17th of August, called the Paradigm Shift Summit. You'll find a banner to that on my website. I'm also speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September. You'll find a banner to that on my website. And I'm also speaking at Anarchapulco in Mexico in February 2020. And you'll find a banner to that on my website. If it isn't up there now, then it will be up there very soon. And with Anarchadelphia and Anarchapulco, if you buy tickets for those events and you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you will find that you'll get yourself a discount on the ticket. And that's always welcome as well. They're the only events that I've booked. There's a chance that I'll probably be doing AB11 and a couple of things next year as well. But as I've mentioned also previously, I'm pretty sure that next year is going to be the last year that I go touring for a while, because I'm just getting a little bit over all the travel. I really think I need to take some time off it, and I really do want to get some focus on the films that I've been trying to make for so long, and that I have to start again, basically, because I had my computer hacked a few months ago, so that's been a bit of a setback as well. So I want to put some focus on that soon, and so that's why I'm sort of going to be taking time off to traveling. But please do come to any of those events if you're anywhere in the area. The Gold Coast in August, the Paradigm Shift Summit, Anarchadelphia in September in Philadelphia, the United States, and Anarchapulco in Acapulco, Mexico next year. Thank you again to all the people who send me so many kind of emails. I am trying to get on top of the emails, folks. I've got a huge pile of unread emails there I've really got to get to. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all the people who continue to support me on Patreon. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you guys. I really couldn't. You know, and it's really a shame. I mean, I really don't even like having to ask for donations, folks. I really don't. I mean, I did all of this off my own bat for many, many years until I ran out of my savings. And I actually didn't even open the Patreon account until a couple of years ago. But I thank you for the support that the people have shown me through that account since I did open it, because it really is the only thing that's kept the show on the air. So you do have my absolute undying gratitude for that. But that is it for me now, folks. I'm now completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Keshe.